It is 6:30. I will call this common council meeting of March 6th to order. If you would please stand and say the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
If you remain standing for a moment of silence. Thank you. You may be seated. Roll call, please.
District 1, Counselor Mo Lettington.
Here.
District 2, Counselor Tom Sells.
Here.
District 3, Counselor Dave Furby.
Here.
District 4, Counselor Lisa Flynn.
Here.
At large, Counselor Missy Williams.
Here.
Entertain a motion to approve the minutes of the last meeting when you're ready.
So moved.
Second.
It's been motioned and seconded to approve the minutes. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion passes. Approval of the agenda. Are there any additions? I do have one. I'd like to insert it next. The four public concerns, and that would be Mike Lind with Tiny Houses for Vets. A presentation to the council. Any others?
This is what I do. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Mike?
Yeah, my name is Mike Lynn. I own some commercial property down here past the pub. It's 11.7 acres. And I've been talking to Chris Morton out there, just sewage transplant place or whatever, and the Journey Home, Mr. Matthews. I'm getting ready to do a 40 by 64 building, and there'll be storage units, and then I'm going to build a grocery store out there. I'm just getting zoned and getting with Keith Polk
yeah.
out of Farmland. And I'm going to meet with him Thursday at noon to get my building started. I want to get into tiny homes for homeless vets. I just think I could help out a little bit. And anything, they said they could help me out with anything I need.
Who's they?
Journey Home. Martin Matthews. Mm-hmm. Matthews is the last name. And I just don't know where I'm started. He's my attorney. I just said, well, let me start here and see what I can do. Like I say, I'm getting ready to put some business out there because there ain't nothing on that side of town. And I said, well, there's 558 homeless vets in the state of Indiana without paperwork. And there's like 12 of them there in the Journey Home. And I'd like to try and help them out. I'm getting ready to buy the frames down there in Maxville that they're tearing all them trailers apart. That's 6 foot by 60 foot long. Mm-hmm. So I'm donating the tiny house. They're moving it, that's theirs.
That's a very noble and honorable cause, Mike. I think that the first step, Nate, correct me if I'm wrong, but it is through the area plan and zoning.
Yeah. I'm meeting with them Thursday. Mm-hmm. So you said PPB or
the APC, Area Planning Commission.
Okay, so old hospital.
Yeah, I think it would be rezoned.
I'm already commercial zoned, so but I heard that there's an ordinance, you can't build anything under 900 square foot.
And that's a variance. You have to go to the BZA. Mm-hmm. It's not conforming use. Randy Abel, at the area plan, we need to be able to discuss. Tell you what's fine.
I'm just breaking the ground and breaking the ice and introducing myself.
That's the way to do it.
Okay.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
Sounds good.
Okay, at this time, we'll open the floor for public concerns. Each individual will have a maximum of 3 concerns per person. The floor is open.
3 minutes.
3 minutes. 3 minutes.
If you would, please state your name.
Christopher Milbury, 318 South Meridian Street. I just wanted to cover a couple things. I don't think that were talked about at the last, my concerns that were not addressed at the last city council meeting, and have been brought up since the BZA meeting. Let me see here. I just wanted to see, I don't know if it was something that was discussed or was planned for the agenda, I was trying to look through, if it was, has been made a part of the record, or if it's something that after the communication and the speech from citizen and Randolph County elected prosecutor David Daly, brought up some things that were concerning. So I didn't know if maybe we could ask, and it might not be something that you guys can do, if we could ask the members of the council if they could put on record when they were notified of the proposed drug rehab clinic and who notified them, how they were notified of that, if we could maybe as a community that's here tonight hear that. And then if that's something that they would be willing to do, then I would also like to ask, I know that there's been several times that the mayor has kind of said that there were some missteps taken and apologized for that, and I appreciate that. I know that there's been some city council members also apologize for missteps, but there's a few citizens specifically up and down my street, and I know a couple that have been on Main Street that work seconds, and due to their job, they're just not able to come to the city council meetings, and I guess I'm just concerned that the city has apologized for maybe a lack of communication early on or for what appeared to be transparency, but I feel like steps haven't been taken to rectify that behavior, and the citizens, the council hasn't still walked the streets, not door to door, or talked to someone that maybe can't get here due to job. So if that, maybe we could do something about that so they could be brought up to speed. And I guess my only other concern would be when the individual members of the council were made aware of this, how they were made aware, and then that would be it.
Thank you.
Well, specifically like the actual lease part or contacting the church, which part, Mr. Bilbrey?
Any part. I think it's been made fairly clear that a good majority of the city, the citizens, specifically the neighbors down in the area, were made aware of the entire ordeal through social media on Facebook or other forms of social media on the last day of January or the first day of February. And at the meeting last time, when another citizen was speaking, a couple of the city council members stated that they too had found out about it that way. So I guess whatever part, I'm just trying to figure out when, make kind of a record when everybody was notified and how they were notified. Then I also have the same, I feel like it would be, I have the same thing that I gave to the BZA. It would also be something I would ask you guys to take into consideration as well. It's the packet of information I gave to the BZA.
Thank you.
We're good. Thank you.
I think that would be fairly inappropriate with
the city attorney. Thank you. Am I next? Yes. My name's Nikki Boskin. I live at 525 South Meridian. I have two main points, really. My first is that my expectation is that some kind of communication between the residents would have been done before this decision was made. To my knowledge, that hasn't happened. I lived there for 14 years. Nobody ever knocked on the door and asked me what I thought about it. I don't think it's a bad thing for the city at all. I think it shouldn't be in a residential area, period. My next issue with it is that there's been a lot of talk about the good that it's going to do for the community. And I agree that that's something, there is something that's needed in this town. However, I work with DCS, and my understanding is that there are 5 counties that this facility will be servicing, and only 23 beds. And percentage-wise, when you pull up the amount of cases that are drug-related in all 5 of those counties, we only account for just under 10% of those cases, which, if they're split that way, that gives us 2 beds. So, although I don't disagree that something's needed to be done, Delaware County has almost 50% of those cases. There are other options. My understanding is that within those 5 counties, there are other areas that are available. I know that Delaware County is next on the list as far as getting the jump on getting a facility. And my question really to whoever wants to answer it is, how do we know that Randolph County people will be getting priority in this facility? My understanding also is that DCS has to refer to the parents. And so I know there are a lot of people that personally are touched with this issue and have family members, but your family member has to be involved with DCS. They have to have children under 5 to live there. So in reality, how many people are we helping in the community? And are there other issues and other steps that should be taken first before we look at the rehab facility and the importance of having that? Because I think there are a lot of other important issues as far as things going on in the school system, things going on in other neighborhoods. I live, like I say, 525, I'm 3 houses from Beeson Park, and you can drive by there any time of the day, and there are teenagers in the park on the playground equipment. My kids have never been able to play there. I bought my house because I wanted them to be able to walk to the park and be within view of my front porch, and they can't do that. And I know that I can walk down there and buy whatever I wanted because I work with the kids that sell down there. So I just think there are other issues that need to be looked at that are going to have more of an impact on the community than 2 women in a rehab facility. So
thank you.
Ken Briggs, 201 West Orange. If this goes all the way through and we put the addicted rehab, whatever we're calling it, is there going to be a contract with the city that if it doesn't work out, what goes in there? Is it going to be a halfway house? Is it going to be an empty building? Is it going to be trash? Is there going to be a contract later on?
All of these questions will be addressed tonight. We brought in our attorneys from Indianapolis who have written this lease agreement, our financial guy from Umbaugh who has, you know, put this together.
Okay.
So yeah, I think that's a good question.
Okay.
As are all of them. We appreciate these.
Can I answer Nikki? Can I answer your question?
Sure.
When we went to Indianapolis and toured Fresh Start facility, we specifically asked, where do Randolph County women fit in this ability to get in? They told us there were 21 women on the list waiting for a facility to get help right now.
From
Randolph County, and that they would have first priority. I don't have that in writing, but that's what three or four of the people there who said that Randolph County would get top priority to do that.
So if that's the case, it's not going to service 5 counties?
It will, but Randolph County will have top priority. But it's what we were told.
It's in the contract.
He didn't specifically say Randolph County. If I'm remembering exactly, it was the area, the county area around it. So
it
could be
area.
Delaware, it could be somewhere else, but it wasn't all just
okay.
One
but if it's DCS related, there are 5 counties in this zone for DCS, so I'm assuming it would be those 5 counties.
That's where they would draw from. She probably did say priority would be given to
I went as well last week on Thursday, And the question was brought up is, okay, fine, there's only, you come to us and you said that there's 95 on the list. Okay, so what happens when we take care of those 95 in the first year? And they had said that DCS has been very picky and choosy about who they actually put on that list, but now that they have another outlet, which being the facility here, they're going to be able to add a bunch more names to that list to be able to serve, as opposed just to the 95 or the 21 here. There's going to be more coming from all the areas because there are only the other two facilities in the state.
Let's stay on topic of the public concerns. Mr. Briggs, you still have time if you'd like.
I just got a question. If we're taking care of the women, I'm all for that, but what about the fathers of the kids? What about the husbands?
Well, right now, the state is paying for women.
Right, but in the future, are we going to add...
Well, that's the long-term goal, and we hope that this community, you know, shows that they are willing to accept this and take on this first. And if we can see a success, then we will try to move that way. Okay? Anyone else? Yes, ma'am.
Why the secrecy of this? Why wasn't the people in Winchester notified when we started this? Why did I find out when I got a registered letter?
Because
the zoning, did I have a right in this town? I live 100 yards from there. You put cameras around that place, I go out my front door, I'm going to be on camera. I go out my back door, I'm going to be on camera.
I don't think the cameras are going to be fixed on the property.
With the five volunteers in there and all these churches coming in and stuff, it's going to be a lot of traffic there. I'm not going to meet no one who parks in my front of my house, side of my house.
Well, ma'am, there wasn't really any secrecy.
Oh, yes, it was.
We followed the process. No decision has been made yet.
I'm saying there was a secrecy. I didn't know it. Mr. Daly didn't know it. He said he didn't live under a rock. I'm saying shame on you, young man.
Anybody else?
My name's Betty Ashley. I live right next door. Who are you?
Going once. Anybody else? Then I will close the floor for public concerns. And at this time, we'll go into new business. And we're going to just introduce an ordinance of the City of Winchester, Indiana, approving matters related to lease financing of building project for use as social service facility, including drug addiction treatment. And I'm going to invite Jacob McClellan to speak on this matter and answer your questions, Council. Okay?
Yes, Jacob McClellan with Bose McKinney and Evans. Jason Summers here with Humboldt, and he can kind of talk about the financial aspects.
You can move that if you want to.
I can go through the ordinance and maybe let Jason talk about the financial aspects. And I guess if you want to interrupt me and ask questions, it's fine. Or you want to wait until we're all done, that would be fine too. I think where we are in the process is at the start of introducing this to the council. I think the mayor went through and kind of vetted the project, and once it seemed like something that could come to fruition, has now brought it to you all for your consideration and input. I'm with Bose McKinney and Evans, as I said. We will be serving as bond counsel on this transaction. The ordinance authorizes a lease between the city and the Winchester Municipal Facilities Building Corporation. It authorizes the formation of that building corporation. It authorizes the acquisition and construction of the drug treatment facility and the lease of the project by the city from the building corporation. It further authorizes a sublease with Volunteers of America. My understanding is they will they will sublease it, and that sublease is actually how they will operate it on a day-to-day basis. It authorizes bond anticipation notes to the building corporation and bonds to the building corporation. The lease is a pretty standard municipal finance lease. If you guys have done, like, I think you guys have done a redevelopment authority, redevelopment commission lease. I don't know if you guys leased, like, the town hall or anything like that, but they're all very similar. So if you looked at the RDC lease, it would have very similar provisions. There will be an initial term of 8 years and then a term of 20 years. The initial 8-year term lines up with the loan with the Indiana Housing and Community Development Authority. That allows for 2 years of construction. We think construction will be a lot less than that. And then 6 years of interest only until the final maturity. And then we would need to take that financing out if there's anything left on it with the bond at the end of that period. So probably less than 8 years for the initial term. As the mayor mentioned tonight, we're just asking that she introduce the ordinance. Following tonight's introduction, we'll publish notice of a public hearing on the ordinance. And then at your following hearing, assuming approval or introduction of the ordinance tonight, we'll ask that you hold a public hearing and consider final adoption of the ordinance. Between the council meetings, the building corporation will be formed. Following the council meeting, there'll be another publication.
Can I ask a question?
Sure, yes.
On the building corporation itself, can you talk about that a little bit as well?
Yeah, I had that on my list to touch on.
Okay.
So, I'll go through that. So the reason to structure this as a lease with the building corporation will be wholly controlled by the city. Their only purpose is to exist for purposes of financings. They will only act in accordance with your directions. And they won't really hold anything or really do anything other than on paper. But in order to avoid any sort of debt limitation issues for the city, what you do is you finance through a lease. And that allows the debt that's issued to not be debt for purposes of any constitutional limitation. So that building corporation will be kind of wholly controlled by the city. It won't be, you know, something that's on its own that has a board. It will have a board of its own, but it will be, they will act at your direction, if you will. So
how's that made up? What's the composition of that board?
I believe it's three members, and I believe they're appointed by you, the mayor. So I can double check that, and if you want us back here at the next meeting, I can be back here to kind of follow up, or have my colleague back here follow up.
I was under the impression that it was appointed by the council.
I think there are a few that are appointed by the council. Actually, I think I'm misspeaking.
Okay,
but yeah, we can confirm that, absolutely. So. As I mentioned, so following the council meeting, we'll publish notice, which will start a 30-day objection period, where folks can file objections to the lease. If there's no objection filed, we would anticipate closing on the IHC CDA loan toward the end of April. And then I guess there was a question asked about how the crew would own the facility. The facility is held by the building corporation, and the option to kind of purchase that facility, it comes through paying off the indebtedness that's issued, that's payable from the lease. So long as there is indebtedness with IHCDA or later financing, that is owned by the building corporation, and to the extent that's ever paid off, that facility would revert to the city. And then I don't know if there was any discussion with BOA about kind of final, I think you guys would examine at that time.
Well, I'm going to go back to your question, Mr. Briggs. We had zoned it. We got a zoning variance last week that it can only be used for
residential
drug equipment. So, to answer your question, if this ever went away, if the BOA ever went away, they would come back to the city, because the city owns it, to determine what goes in that.
No.
No?
If they go away, the zoning goes away.
Okay.
And then you would have to request a rezone.
Because it would go back to the original zone of being a church, right?
Or residential.
Yeah. Residential.
Anything that could be used in a residential area.
Does that make sense? Yeah. So you can't just put a halfway house in, or somebody can't just put a halfway house in without going through all these steps again.
The board is only
possibly make that way, because a halfway house is residential.
Well, if it's allowed for in our zoning.
Okay, so the zoning would have to make the final call.
Mm-hmm. How about the zoning?
I can kind of look and confirm the question about the board composition of that, but practically speaking, if they're going to do anything, they have to come back to you all to do that. So. With that, I'll turn it over to Jason, and then I'll be available for questions. Go ahead.
Yeah, one more. Is it customary for mayors to go out and seek loans or grants and then apply and then have their council discuss it, think about it, talk to the public to make that determination?
Yeah, I would say that is a customary thing that happens. It happens a lot with economic development. There's, you know, potential project coming to town. They maybe contact the mayor or the town manager if it's a town. And, you know, the mayor or the executive kind of vets that. I think you probably get inquiries that end up being nothing. I think, you know, it's typical to kind of take it a little bit further down and see if there's something there. Apply and see what you can have, and then take it to the council for you guys to kind of vet. That's my experience. I mean, it doesn't always happen that way. I mean, if there's some big manufacturer that's coming to town, everybody knows it. Well, everybody knows it, but I mean, there are many instances when things are not known. They're kind of vetted before they get, otherwise it's kind of a waste of everybody's time. Mm-hmm.
So, Mr. Bilbrey, you know, I've been working since the summer with trying to attract VOA to Winchester. However, I did not have the building secure. I did not have funding. So it didn't make a lot of sense to make that public at that time because it may not come to fruition. So once we had those things secured, that the church had time to consider themselves as a private entity, what they wanted to do, and the funding was secured, then I made it public and made people aware.
Okay, with that, I'll turn it over to Jason. And
thank you,
I'll
Jason.
Be here and happy to answer
any questions.
Jason, similar partner, HM Ball & Cousins, serve as financial advisor for the city on the Annapolis project. And the report I have in front of you is a kind of illustration of what the financing could look like as you go forward. The actual amounts won't be known until if you do decide to go forward with the project, the purchase and renovations are made. But if you turn to page 2, you have been talking about the financing mechanism. You have been granted a loan up to $815,000 from the Indiana Housing and Community Development Authority. Structure of that is 2 years of accrued interest during construction, up to 2 years. If construction is less than that, which is anticipated it would be, you pay it off the time the construction is finished, at least that accrued interest. And then you start a 6-year payment of interest only during that time. So maximum, that's the 8-year term that you see in the lease. You could have up to 2 years of construction of accrued interest. Once the project is done, you pay accrued interest that's accrued through that time. And then you have 6 years of interest payment. And then at the end of that 6 years, the principal, the entire amount of principal that you've drawn down would have to be paid off. So for this schedule here, we assume the maximum is drawn down to $815,000. Again, just interest only. We just showed 5 years here, so we actually go out an extra year. But the anticipation is that during this time period, Volunteers of America, the revenues that they'll receive could help pay this amount down. I know there's been discussions that they will also apply for grants. I think there's up to a $500,000 grant that they're going to apply for. So if they do certain things under their power, they may be awarded that. I think the city's also looking at additional grants throughout this time period that could pay that down. But again, through that time period, what is required is interest only. So during that time, we're looking at about $30,000 that would require to be paid back. The repayment source, if there are no grants, are no revenues available from Volunteers of America, we're saying this would be paid back from general revenues of the city with the property tax backup. And the reason that we're doing it is, one, gives you the most flexibility to pay this back over time. If for some reason that the amount isn't paid back in that 6-year period, what would occur is the city would issue a long-term bond to take out that note. If you turn to page 3, So this scenario assumes kind of worst-case scenario. There's no grant, no revenue. You have to pay back all $815,000 to year of N6. Again, we have to issue a bond. So you have some additional costs for a bond issuance. We set aside a reserve to help cover one payment issuance costs. So then you're looking at about a bond issue of a little over $1 million. So that's why you have the two amounts, or the max amount of, I think, $1,100,000 in the lease, which is more than the $815,000 loan that you have, but this covers the bond if you were to have to issue one. If you were to issue the bonds, you can issue that up to 20 years, and it doesn't have to be 20 years, but on page 4 we would show if you did issue that $1 million bond over 20 years, what the annual payment would look like. And again, this would be paid back from general revenues of the city with the property tax backup. Again, these interest rates, 5.75%, that's high, but we're looking at 5-6 years out, so we want to try to be conservative. That $90,000 can be payable any revenues of the city. And the reason that we put the property tax backup on is to make the bonds more marketable. You have to do that to try to get the lowest rate possible. But the intent, or I think the anticipation, is that a levy would not be adopted. That would be paid from revenues such as the city seated that you're seeing each year. So scenario two, as I mentioned, the amount that has been approved is up to $815,000. Based upon some preliminary conversations with the architect and engineer, we don't think it's going to cost that much to do the renovations that's required. So we're looking at probably more like $700,000 that would be drawn down. So that kind of looks at what the annual payment would be. So you're looking more like $26,000 versus the $30,000. And then again, going on to the next page, showing, you know, hopefully worst case, if you don't receive any grants or no revenues available to make those payments of principal, and you have to bond the entire $7,000, now you're looking at a bond of about $890,000. And in the last page, if you were to try to pay that over 20 years, the annual payment is about $80,000.
Questions for Jason?
I guess, probably in my head, but anyway. So we say we start out with the proposal on the first one, and we pay for the six years of interest alone, and then we've got $204,000 for just the interest alone, right? But the principal is still $815,000.
Correct.
So if BOA don't come up with the money, or say they come up with $500,000, we're still on the hook for the $315,000. We have no guarantee that BOA can come up with it. I'm not being negative, I'm just trying to protect what money we've got.
Yeah, sure.
So if the BOA can't come up with the $500,000, say they can only come up with $200,000, do we take that? And then do we just apply that to the principal and then we owe $615,000? Mm-hmm. So the whole thing was the least we could have in this is $204,000.
Sure.
You're paying the interest loan for 6 years?
Well, you'd have the $815,000 of principal,
right,
plus the $140,000 of interest.
Right. $204,000. I guess, yeah, I didn't understand. But if they do take it over after 6 years and they come up with $815,000, which is about, will be the outstanding balance on that principal, and then we'll still have it in $204,000 of interest loan.
That's the worst case scenario. Yeah. That's assuming that we would need all
$815,000. The worst case is that they don't come up with that money at all. Right?
Yeah, well, and then also assuming that there's no other outside contributors as well to this project. Winchester's not alone in this.
I got that. I'm just trying to figure out
the... Yeah. And you don't have to wait till the end of year 6 or year end of year 8 to pay off principal. If you receive grant or other funding sooner, you can pay that amount drawn down, which would reduce the amount of interest.
Yeah, and I will say in my journey with this, over the last 6 or 8 months, we did look at an Indiana Criminal Justice Institute grant that awarded up to $500,000 for these kinds of things, but they would not award for brick and mortar. So there are many of these grants out there that just won't fund startup, but they'll fund maintenance and ongoing expenses.
Right. Yeah, I got one more, I guess. So the maintenance, the utility costs, all that stuff, we'll bear that too for the first 6 years?
No. I think we'll pass that on to VOA via their sublease. Like anything in there that you see, it's an obligation of the city to pay taxes if there's any taxes due. That should be covered in that sublease.
That's an, and you have that lease, do you not?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just looking at one of the pages.
The sublease hasn't been. Just the pay the interest. We haven't received the sublease.
We have not received the sublease yet. We should receive that this week.
I talked to the VOA attorney today, and they're finishing it up, and should send it to us.
Okay.
For our review.
And again, we're still in that stage. There's been no decisions made. We're still negotiating. We're still talking this out. We're still, you know, redlining, as they say.
Yeah.
So we're still, as been said, we're still a ways away.
So everybody's here, so everybody knows. At least been presented tonight. These leases are not right.
Okay. So
that's from the email I got today.
The email today.
That's the email from today.
It says March 7th.
The other one.
That's the ordinance.
Yeah.
You're looking for
So I suppose if anybody wants to see the lease, I mean, it's a proposed lease.
These are new ones I just got today.
I guess it's a public document.
Did we get it today?
Again, it's a proposed lease.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's not been signed.
So I suppose it's a public document if anybody wants to come in. I'm just saying, public wants to come in.
Yeah.
They can go to the court's office and take a copy.
I've been out of the office all day, and I just received Jacob's email. But I have the new, the latest lease.
The I guess
the one that you sent me.
Yeah, I would point out the only change to that was that we had a close one with IHCBA and clarified the initial term would be potentially 2 years of construction plus 6 years of interest, as opposed to 6 years with 2 years being kind of part of that 6 years. Mm-hmm. And so that gives you guys more time. It's just a little bit of a longer term, but you don't have to have a longer term. And then the other change was we had Volunteers of America, Inc., and it's Volunteers of America of Indiana coming. So that should be the only changes from what you had received before.
Just to clarify, in the email that you sent this afternoon, there were two leases. The one was the red line, and then the other one was just the...
Just a clean copy.
Okay.
Yep.
I just wanted to make sure of it. Okay, that's great. Thank you.
Yep. So, and I was going to say, just to reiterate, tonight's just the introduction. We'll have a assuming you guys introduce, we'll have a public hearing at the next meeting, get public comment. If you'd like me or one of my colleagues to be here, happy to do that to help answer any questions as well. So.
Very good. But these figures are concrete. I mean, they won't change. Right? I mean, what we see right now is what we're going to get.
Well, no, what the bond, the lease that you're introducing tonight approves, I believe the bond issue, up to $1,100,000. These are just kind of illustrations. We won't know what the hard numbers are to actually purchase the building and do the renovations. Once all those costs are known and you know exactly how much you're going to borrow, that will, then we'll know the exact amount. And then with the question for the bond issue, we won't know that until, you know, 5 or 6 years from now. But the first scenario is kind of worst case. You had to borrow everything and then had to have the loan and also have the bond the entire amount.
Any further discussion or questions? Well, thank you, gentlemen. Very well.
So what we'll need to do is set a meeting and approve the notice.
Do you want to introduce it? I don't know what your policy is on that.
We usually just bring it up, and if anybody has a question, then we will have the first reading after the public hearing.
Yeah, I think the public hearing has been set for March 20th, which is not next Monday, but the following Monday at 6:30 with council meeting immediately to follow that.
So you have two readings then?
We'll do the readings after next month. This is just so everybody will have a copy of it and the public can look at it in the next 2 weeks and have comments on it. At least that's what we normally do. Unless you guys want to have a reading tonight, I suppose you could. You just can't do final adoption until it's out.
I recommend we
do.
Do
we have to adopt on the 20th? We don't, right? It can just be.
Yeah, I think the timeline had that, but doesn't matter, we would just, you just wouldn't be able to sign the lease assuming that you approved the NTUC.
You can do two readings at your next meeting and wait till the meeting after.
Yeah, I just didn't know your process was, sorry.
Well, we've done it both, Jacob, so.
I've left meetings without people taking votes, so.
I think the mayor, when we talked, didn't want to take a vote tonight, and one of the.
Right, right, I think we need to, this is a lot of information. I think we have a lot of homework to do, and I would feel better if we waited till after the public hearing, and then even then, I don't think necessarily want to approve after the public hearing, so.
That's up to the council.
Any further discussion on the matter? Okay. Next up is Angela Newman with Tech Support.
Hello. As most of you have known already, I have put in my resignation with Vicki's office, and I'll be leaving in the middle of May. So with that, she has decided to not do tech support out of her office anymore. And so the city will either need to hire somebody else to do it or contract somebody to do it. We do have CDO, and they do our server support, but they are not on site to help the department heads and other employees with their issues. So I have put a contract in the packets that if you guys want me to contact tech support, I am more than willing to do that. You can read it over, look at it. If you have any questions for me, you know how to get a hold of me. I'll be in the office until May 19th.
So we have it in our packets?
Yeah.
Well, we didn't get a packet today.
Oh, we didn't get packets. That's right. Okay, I'll send it to all of you. No big deal. But I just wanted to let you guys know what was going on and what is happening.
Good.
Okay?
Yeah, okay.
All right, I'll send it to you, and then you guys can discuss it. Okay?
Thank you. Thanks. Any further discussion on tech support? Questions? Okay. Item C, 214 North Meridian Street, the demolition. You awarded this property demolition to a gentleman who has since recently declined, has withdrawn. And so I want to ask you how you want to go about it. I mean, we have quotes in from companies. We can re-quote it. You can give me authorization just to hire somebody. It's under the $50,000 threshold. How do you want to do it? We can ask for three more quotes, and then we can come back next week or the following meeting and open them up, and you guys decide. But it's up to you.
I think we ought to get a couple additional quotes because Cooley's.
Cooley does that work too.
Yeah, they've been doing that kind of work.
Okay.
So can we get a couple more quotes and tell, you know, how do we let people know that they can make a bid on something like this?
You just call them.
Okay.
You just call them.
Do we put it in the newspaper, or do we put a?
You can. For anything over $150,000, you have to by statute. Okay. But anything under $150,000, you just call. So if you have somebody in mind that you would like for me to call, or I'd be happy to do it.
Cooley's for sure. Now, there might be in Lawson Ward. I can give you a list.
Yeah, sure.
Here. I'll put some, because I think we've got some.
Royce Mars.
Yeah,
I
you
was
said.
Told he does the work, too. I'd be interested in this if that church don't.
Paying
up for you. I got some property.
Thank you, sir. I don't know if we can afford to build, but appreciate the offer. Thank you.
So, well, I'm building 40 by 64 building.
But you'll charge us too.
So this house is deemed to be uninhabitable. Okay, just one.
Yeah, yeah. There's been posted on the wall, on the door. And
I think I know.
Yeah, we thought we'd be done. We thought we'd be done by now.
You guys
did. Probably a good thing, one, because when you get that muddy ground going and you get tracked, it's hard to get that stuff smoothed out.
Any further discussion? Questions? We have no unfinished business.
So, Missy, would you like to report on Blight Committee?
Yeah, we met a couple weeks ago. I don't know, it's been a while ago, about 10 days ago, I guess now. And I think I sent information on to you that the committee would like for you to inquire with Officer Sheets about finding the home on East Shore Street, 213 East Shore, I think, was the one to condemn, actually have it condemned, so the city can take action as far as...
The one that bought?
He did.
210.
210, thank you. To have it actually condemned, mm-hmm. as uninhabited, because it is bad. It has gotten worse as the winter has gone on. And therefore, the city, he has to, as my understanding with Meeks, is that the gentleman would have to appear for a court case for being contempt of not appearing. And it is so bad that our committee would like to see the city move forward to tear that building down, put the removal fee onto that tax roll, which nobody would pay, and eventually we'd get it back anyway. So we're going to be right where we are when we wait through a property and tear it down, like Mo said. Councilor Lincoln, in the end anyway, but the doors are both wide open. They fall off the hinges. There's entry straight through. I wouldn't go in there, but there's been people in there for sure. The neighbors have seen them, and if you look in the back door, you can see evidence that there's been somebody in there, because there's food wrapper packages and some other things from McDonald's. And the second thing, just we've talked about this, but is it possible for us to post our own for sale sign? As an example, the property that's down on 502 South Meridian, whether we get a realtor to be our agent like we did with the rental that we used with the park house, but so people know this lot is for sale. And you could determine how you wanted to sell it or what cost you wanted for it.
That's a good idea.
And the home right beside it is for sale. Mm-hmm. And I talked to the gentleman, he lives in Randolph Center in that Lynn. And he said, I thought I had my house sold until this one just kept getting worse and worse. And I told him we thought it might be torn down. It never happened. And I think if there was a lot to go with, I could buy the lot, or the person who buys my property could buy that lot. So could we work on that or come up with that somehow to get someone to put a for sale sign so people know? And then obviously there, you know, 214 North Meridian, when that one's taken down, to put a for sale sign in that lot also.
I've got one question. So we do with the 210 Shore Street, from now to when we can actually tear it down, what's the time frame? Does anybody know? I mean, what's the problem? You say we're going to take it to court?
210?
Yeah. Sure. What he has to do is, I mean, and that's where it's at now.
What is that address on there? Is it 210?
210.
Yes, 210. Okay. But, and it's already, we already have it that far. It's now been directed to Meeks. By our ordinance and by state law, he now has to do the civil suit to the court on the property owner. And so that's where it's at. How long it's going to take, there's no way of knowing that. I mean, they're just, like she was saying, they're doing the civil suit. Yeah. They won't show up more likely for the court. And then that way they're going to be having a default finding by the judge. And then the city will be able to go in and take care of whatever they need to.
And notice the registered letters are going to that address. Obviously, there's no...
No, that's been corrected.
Okay, good.
And if you protest that, or whatever, that can get...
Because it was listed as 213. Mm-hmm. And it's not.
Okay.
And that's been corrected.
Okay.
Okay,
thanks.
Yes. There was a mistake, or, you know, like, it's not 213, it's actually 210 if you go on the GIS. So when they were looking at the owner, it gets at the wrong place.
So it could take one.
But it has already been taken care of, and it is already for that next step. Because the owner actually, the owner by GIS lives on outside of the city.
Yeah.
So they don't know if it's outside of the city.
And just the very last thing is, Susie Ripley set up an appointment with us on for a day that two of us couldn't be there, so we're going to reschedule that for Oprah. She's going to come and help us through the grant process.
Will you let me know when that
yes.
is?
Yes. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Any questions or further discussion for Missy with the Blight Committee? Okay.
Yes. I just have one thing this evening, and it's for the conflict of interest for Rick Sanders. He is also a volunteer fireman, and he does work for the city as well. And I would ask that you would approve the conflict of interest so it can be submitted to the State Board of Accounts, please.
You just have to make a motion to accept it?
Yes.
Are you storing all that cars out? Is he going to have to put up his fence?
No, he's all right. That's not good. Since you brought that up, I may make a comment from that one over here. The city of Winchester has now got 9 junkyards inside the city limits of Winchester. 9. So, actually, according to ordinance, there can't be any, but we have 9. You try to do something about it, you go to the proper channels, and they just sort of act like it's something new. The press has been fighting this for 2 years, and they're no further ahead now than it was 2 years ago.
See the conflict of interest, but what is his business license that there is a conflict of interest on? I mean, I understand that he owns that property over there, but...
Is it towing and stuff, or for signage?
Signage.
Towing.
There's two different things on
there. That's two different.
Yeah. I saw the signage and stuff.
And I would suppose it's because sometimes he tows cars that have been impounded or need impounded.
Yeah, sometimes it does, yeah. Whatever, yeah, you want to rotate it. The record services are on the rotation, so you know, there's times that we have to
take. We need a pass
police department when we're towing vehicles.
Vote on it.
Yeah, vote on it to pass.
They need to accept it if they want to. If they don't want to, then we won't do business, I guess.
I mean,
how's that work?
It's still a conflict. I mean, you file your conflict form and it gets filed. If you don't want to hire him, don't hire him. I mean, that's a different factor, whether or not there's a conflict.
Still need to have this on file.
You've got to have that on file in some sectors. He says if it's sent to DLGF or State Board of Accounts.
Oh, well, I'm for leaving that to the fire department, the police department.
You what?
If they want to hire him, they can hire him, but I don't want to micromanage them. And he does volunteer for our city, so I'll cut him some slack. Anybody want to entertain a motion to approve it? Accept it. Anybody want to entertain a motion to accept it? I will entertain a motion that we accept this notice of conflict of interest for Rick Sanders.
Second.
Yeah. It's been motion and second to accept the conflict of interest form, conflict of interest with Rick Sanders. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign.
Aye.
Motion carries. We'll accept the conflict of interest. Mayor's report. Thursday of this week is the Redevelopment Commission meeting. The following Thursday is the Park Board. A lot of exciting things going on that the Park Board and the Park Department are planning for the summer, including a concert series in the park. We're also looking into a disc golf course out there. Friday is the musical, and also on Sunday is the musical. Pollution Solution is out on East 32. And it is opening March 18th. They're going to be open Thursdays from 3 to 6 and Saturdays from 8 to 12 this year. So they're actually extending their hours to help out with some of the household waste that we all generate. We are at the Solid Waste District meeting today. We did talk about recycling canisters around town, and I'm not asking for you guys to make any decision on this, but just to kind of help brainstorm, it costs the Solid Waste Management District money every time. I think it's $28 every time a recycling dumpster is dumped, and we have $29, and we have 18 times that we have recycling bins dumped in the city of Winchester. So you multiply, and that's per week.
$511.
So you multiply how much?
$511.
$511 that the Solid Waste Management District pays to have the dumpsters inside the city of Winchester alone dumped. I don't know if you had any ideas of how we might be able to help the Solid Waste Management District alleviate that cost, because they do a lot of good things with their money that they do get, such as community grants and help educate children and et cetera. So that's my mayor's report. I'll entertain a motion.
I just want to tell the public and let everybody know that the financial documents that were presented today will be at the clerk's office. When do you think they'd be available?
Anytime
at the clerk's office. Along with the lease that was discussed, the sublease is not, I've not been provided that yet. The sublease will be provided for everybody when it gets presented to us and gets signed. I just want to make sure that's very clear. And also with the BZA that was discussed, if that special use is not in use anymore, then that reverts back to the residential zoning district. And so that residential zoning district, I know that was asked, there's certain things in the zoning book that can be used for, and I can go through them, but it would be things you would think that would normally be in the residential district.
And that zoning board is a board made up of members from all over the county.
So when that gets presented, that will be presented to everybody. So we don't have that lease yet. So hopefully we will have that lease. I did talk to the attorney today, and he told me it would be this week. But I will tell you, if we get a lease back, that's ridiculous. I'm not going to present that to the mayor or to the council until we work out those details. And then you guys will get a copy of it when it's 95% done, 98%. Hopefully 100%.
I do have 10 copies here of the lease that Meeks was just speaking about, if anyone would care to have those tonight. And
really interesting reading.
Yeah.
You guys are really
good.
Don't read it if you're tired.
Okay.
If you're law school, right. Don't read it if you're tired. That's all.
Well, I just want people to know.
One more thing. Meek, since you're back in here, we're talking about the property at 210. Mm-hmm. So update me on how that process works. That's on East Short Street.
Well, after it goes through the ordinance violation process, then it needs to get referred to me by the police officer or by Richie or by the mayor. I prefer an email from the mayor to say go start the process. And then once I get those documents, that filed, then we file suit. I'll probably send a letter to the file suit.
Yeah. So are we talking 6 months?
Oh, no. If I get it tomorrow, I can send out the letter Friday and give them 10 days, and if nothing happens, we file suit. I already have the suits. I mean, yeah. I've done them so many times, I just go tell my secretary, let's change the dates and change the names and stuff.
Well, if you need an email from me, I'll post it.
Well, I just need all the information, right? I need the ticket. I need what's been done and all that stuff.
Okay.
So.
And just for, it's 213 East Shore.
Yeah.
It is?
Okay.
Yeah, I just need the pertinent information.
It's on the GIS, it's 213.
Okay, then it was vice versa, whatever it was.
Yeah.
It's thought to be one.
I do agree with Mo. We've got to start to clean up some of these areas around town. I asked Mr. Sanders, and I don't have anything personally against him whatsoever, but I asked him when he asked to purchase that property. I was brand new to the council, and I said, what are you going to do with that property? He said, I'm going to fix that place up. It's going to look like a 1950s, 50s, 60s place, and it'll be a really great, and it's not. The neighbors are upset about it. The competitive businesses are not threatened, but they're, you know, it makes that part of town look really bad.
Well, if you're a junkyard, I mean, and I know Mo has filed a complaint, but, you know, if the Blight Committee or the council all filed a complaint, well, that's a little more heft to that complaint. I don't know, Mo. Don't look at me like that.
That don't make sense.
I don't know. I don't know why they won't. I don't know why they don't.
They lost my complaint, by the way. APC.
You'll file again.
So tell us how we file one. Tell us how we go off on one.
Go up to the building commissioner.
And I certainly want to keep anybody from doing business, but
second floor of the
junkyard there, and it does look that, I mean, we're one block off of town and, or off the main square, and it does look bad.
You know, Missy, we have people there that worry about the right property values where this is going to. Will you talk to them people inside them junkyard? They can't sell them houses.
No, they cannot.
They can't give them houses.
Yeah, I know, even a block down.
They just sit there and tolerate it. I just don't understand when the law says they can't have them. Whatever. I will file a complaint now back 2 weeks to just complain again.
That's okay. We can adjourn with a motion.
Second.
Second.
Motion and second to adjourn. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Adjourn.
Mayor, yes, thank you.
Well, he says, but I'm going to say right now, I'm going to go back 2 weeks prior and say, what do you do that time?
Okay.
Well, I think I can tell you that I have a Wi-Fi here.
Well, I've been trying to.
And you have to have their address, correct?
Gary Fran, he's been looking at real. He says, and they, he said, And I'm all, what do you guys report? And I said, yeah, but they missed it. They missed it. I said, when you look at the staff losses compared to what they projected, you're going to be, they missed it.
Wait, you mean last week when they were here?
Yes. They missed it. Because, I mean, I work at Mall, and I've heard of the guys tell me that Burton Hall about 47, they could have ended up with a little last game. But you get a look at it, it's out there, people have a small point. I mean, how do they value it?
I know you can.